Our Heavenly Father, we look forward to the day, Lord, that you will come, when all troubles of life will be over. Father, we can sing towards Zion, and on a daily basis, Lord, I will be taking a seat together with everyone else as we hear the teaching from the Master Teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Lord, we look forward to that day, but in the meantime, help us to be faithful, Lord, to what you have called us to do. Help us, Father, even as we learn today, Lord, on some principles of friendship, that God, the friendship of God and the Lord Jesus Christ will be in our hearts as we strive to be the best friend we can to someone else who might need. So, Lord, we'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, last week, for those who were not here last week, we still have some leftovers from last week. Anyone need? Anyone need? Need? No? No one needs? Okay. This is last week's one. Oh, last week, you're not here. Okay, so I just do a 5-minute run through of what we talked about last week. Okay, in Proverbs, Proverbs 17 verse 17, we talk about the fact that a friend loveth at all times. A friend loveth at all times. Okay, and that is very important. And the definition we have for friend is one who is attached to another by affection. Okay, this is for today's one, okay? So one who is attached to another by affection, one who entertains or treats another person with esteem, respect, and love. Okay, the word affection has to do with love, which then lead the person to desire his company. And I think the key thing here is that a friend will seek to promote the happiness and prosperity of the other person. Okay? A friend, okay, will seek to promote the prosperity and the happiness of the other person. Okay? So that's a key definition of friends. And it's good to have good friends. Amen? That will promote your prosperity and promote... What about prosperity? Doesn't have to be financial. Okay? But prosperity as in growth in general, that you do all you can to help you grow, whether yourself, your family, etc. Okay? A good friend will aim to do that. And I talked about two things that will influence you for the next 2 years. And what are the two things? Can anyone remember? Friends you mix with and the books you read. These are the two big things that will influence you the most for the next 2 years. Okay? If you read lots of the Bible, if you read lots of Christian material which helps you to grow, you'll become more like Christ. If you read more of the things of the world, you will become more like the things people of the world. Alright? So that is a very important principle, especially for parents. Surround your children with good books, okay? And one of the things next year probably we want to think about really swarming our children with good books that they can read. Alright? And we'll think about that in our budget and plan. And I think one of the key principles for next year is to grow the families of the church, and also for people who to help one grow the family of the church. All right, good books, and to just make sure that it's, our children are surrounded by them. Sometimes it's very hard to even find good books. All right, there are places that get good books, but we have to order from overseas or some Christian bookshops that is like tucked away somewhere. But their main ministry is to do this. All right, so we need to surround our children with good books as they grow up. All right. Four levels of friendship we quickly touch on. Their acquaintance, those people, maybe your acquaintance, the people you say hi and bye to, like maybe your the road sweeper, say hi uncle and bye. That's your acquaintance, you know him. Alright. Then there is the casual friend. A casual friend is characterized simply by common interests. A lot of us hover in the casual friendship type of category. We have a lot of casual friends. Alright, they're all we hang out with, we do things with. Right? But then close friendship goes down a bit deeper. Okay, close friendship has to do with the fact that we can actually share some of our personal problems with. Okay, there are people we wouldn't trust, that he's not going to, when you share the problem, the next day it's in the new paper. Okay, that kind of friend. People that you can trust to share close friendships. And I mentioned very quickly, let's turn to 1 John. Okay, 1 John, once again, I want to reinforce that. 1 John. Chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. Primarily in verse 7. I just read that verse because we just want to summarize. Okay, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, in other words, if we walk with Christ as Christ is in the light, then, interestingly, then we have fellowship one with another. Can you see that? God makes it clear that unless we are walking in the light with Christ, Christians have difficulties even having friendships. Alright? And I, based on this verse, close friendship ought to be the norm among Christians. Because of the fact that we are in the light. And we are able to share with one another our burdens and we can pray. Does it make sense? The world will probably hover around casual friendships and acquaintances. But for Christians, because we have a deeper bond, bond of Christ, because we've all been washed by the blood of Christ, we ought to have be able to go to any Christian and say, look, of course, let's put it this way. I think there's a practical aspect. We don't just go to anyone and share your problems with. But you know, if you're a Christian and you know this person loves God, it won't be long before you will be willing to share some personal things which you feel that you may have problems with. Okay? So Christians ought to be hovering close friendships and intimate friendships. I was talking to my son yesterday and talking about people on the Facebook, you know, got 1 million friends, that kind of thing, you know. I told you that's rubbish. You won't have friends, maybe acquaintances. You have to define what friends is. Can I say this? In your entire life, you probably have less than 10 close friends. Entire life. Your entire life. You probably have less than 10 close friends. And that's the reality. But you know, in a Christian community, you ought to have more. Okay? Because people love you and they're willing to care. Okay? So, by intimate friends is where you go down to the level that you can give it to your friend and you know that he won't be offended and say thank you. That's intimate friendship. Okay, we'll be talking about our characteristics of a true friend later on. It really takes a lot to build to that level that I can actually go to someone or you can come to me and say, you have done this and you're wrong and you need to be doing this. Okay? And then for me not to say, who are you? Have you had that before? People told me in my face, I get lost. Get out of my life. Okay, I'm just fulfilling my role as pastor. But you know what? Can I say this as pastor? I do have to tell you, I come not just on the pastor level. I come on the friendship level. Because you're a brother in Christ, a sister in Christ. Okay? And that's the primary thing. In the service afterwards, you see one of the apostles using this principle of reconciliation. Okay? So there are four levels of friendship. Any questions? It is important for us to then help us to understand, because at different levels we have different responsibilities, okay, for friendships. Okay, now the biblical friend, we talked about it roughly last week, and the biblical friend would be one who, the essential element of true friendship is the invariability of love, affection, okay, you do love the people, and we'll talk about that afterwards, okay. So, any questions for last week? So, what's a friend, the different levels of friendship? Okay, now we'll go into what are the characteristics of a friend. Okay, this is very important for a Christian church, okay? I was looking through some materials from elsewhere, and I find that some of the, quite more observations, okay? Like, for example, one of the, let's just go in the Bible. Let's turn to Proverbs 17 and verse 17. Okay, the key thing, if you want to be a true friend, memorize this verse. Just one liner. Proverbs 17, verse 17. Let's read it together, okay? Let's read together, ready? Proverbs 17, 17, ready? 1, 2, begin. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Okay, for the benefit of those who might not be around last week, a friend loveth, the word loveth is unconditionally love. The affection for another friend, okay? To be a true friend, we need to love at all times. And literally, it means that at all times. In sickness, in distress, in offense or not, you will love the underlying heart of a true friend. Is this, no matter what happens, no matter what you do to me, I will still love you. That is the essence of a true friend. And that actually mirrors on the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what we do to Him or against Him, He will still love us. Okay, a good thing is, a good example is Judas Iscariot. Okay, Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus Christ. What did Jesus call him? Friend. Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss. Jesus called him friend. Friend comes from the word phileos, okay? And so a friend loveth at all times, but a friend then becomes a brother. The second part, a brother is born for adversity. A friend, when there's trouble, a loyal friend will be there. A true friend will actually be there for you. Okay? So how does the key word I believe here is a friend loveth at all times. Loveth at all times. So what is the characteristic of true friendship? Alright? So you have your notes there, you can fill it up, and you can actually look at the different passages together, okay? We will have different people read a lot of Bible verses, so we have different people read, and then you can fill in the blanks, okay? Okay, can I maybe start from this side? Maybe you have Leandra, you can turn to Proverbs 20 verse 6. Then Allison, you can turn to Proverbs 10, 12. Brother June, you can turn to Proverbs 12, 16. And then Brother Desmond, you can turn to Proverbs 17 verse 9. And then I'll just give you all the verses first. Joshua, you can turn to Proverbs 27 verse 10. And then Jacob, you can turn to Proverbs 27 verse 6. Then Auntie Alice, boleh? Oh, okay. Then Sister Charling, then to Psalm 141 verse 5. And then Lydia, you can turn to Proverbs 27:17, right? Is it? Correct? Then Brother Mike, you can turn to John 15:13. Sister Joyce, if you don't mind, you can turn to Galatians 6 verse 1 and 2. Then Sister Elizabeth, Proverbs 18 verse 24. And Sister Grace, Psalms 119 verse 63. Okay, all the verses first, so we can talk through it, and when I call the verse, you just read it, alright? Okay, what is the first characteristic of a true friend? Proverbs 20 verse 6.
Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man can hide.
Okay, so most men will proclaim his own goodness. Okay, so good I am. But the Bible says a faithful man who can find. So the first characteristic of a true friend is, okay, the word faithfulness, I put an L there, is loyalty. Okay, faithfulness, loyalty. Loyalty to a friend is a very important characteristic of what we call a true friend. In other words, the word faithfulness has to do with I'm able to trust you. Right? In any situation, I can put my trust in you that this will happen. When you say one means one, two means two. Does it make sense? Do you have friends like that? I'm sure you do. But do you have friends that say 1 means 17? Or in other words, they say they're going to come, but then, sorry lah. Then you find out that the reason is like, excuse me, they'll change their mind about something just because I'm sure you had this situation before. You make an appointment with a friend, and last minute you say, hey, sorry, I cannot come. But then you realize she just didn't feel like coming. It's like, oh, you make an appointment, why don't come? That's not a loyal friend. Okay? A faithful friend will actually have the character. A loyal friend is a characteristic of a true friendship. Okay? Faithfulness here is that I will be faithful to a friend in good times. And that's easy. But I'll be faithful to a friend in bad times too. Okay? And I just highlight this thing about faithfulness. The question that we need to ask ourselves, are we a loyal friend, is can we be depended on? Like if we are supposed to do certain things, we are supposed to... maybe we just said... Okay. Okay. A good example of how we can ask ourselves whether we're a loyal friend is, if someone, I had this situation before, if someone in front of you says bad about someone else, says your friend, what would you do? What would you do? Being a loyal friend, what would you do? If let's say someone says something bad about someone else in front of you, which is your friend too, what would you do? Sorry? A loyal friend would defend his friend. Okay, a loyal friend would defend his friend. Okay, example, let's say A says, hey, you know so-and-so, like that one. Then B, who's a friend of this so-and-so, will say, look, I don't believe he's like that. A loyal friend will stand by. But then the person goes, but you don't know what he did, this, no. Oh, really? All right, let's go and find him. Let's go and talk to him about it. Okay, people who want to spread the kind of rumors will probably, okay. But a loyal friend will actually stand his ground for his friend. One of the things of the ministry, and one of the things as Christians, I'd like to encourage us, a true friend will protect the reputation of his friends. Listen, even when he knew that maybe he had done wrong. But as a true friend, you will say, look, that's enough. Yes, he's done that, so what? You want to spoil his reputation some more? You actually will then go to that friend and say, look, you did this. Okay, we'll talk about that. But a true friend, a loyal friend, will actually defend the reputation of his friend. Okay? And that's something, look, we all make mistakes. And if we do sin, then of course we need to confess. But a friend who, knowing the other person had this weakness, will say, look, he's trying his best. Enough of that already. You actually will try to stop that. Okay? Worst come to worst, just walk off. It takes character, especially for youth and young people among your group. It takes character to just stand up and say, look, that's enough. I don't want to listen to that because it's not good. Alright? So, are we loyal friends? Okay? So the first thing is, to be a true friend, we need to be a loyal friend. Any question, just stop me, alright? If there's any discussion, any sharing along the way, that you find, Rajani also had this before, it will enrich the learning time, okay? So number one, be a loyal friend. Number two, Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covereth all sins. Proverbs 12, verse 16. A prudent man covereth shame. Proverbs 17 verse 9.
He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that resisteth a matter separateth very friends.
What is the key thing in these three verses? Covereth transgression. Covereth transgression. I want to make this clear. It doesn't mean we condone sin. We cannot condone sin. In other words, we cannot tolerate sin. But when we know that someone has done certain things and you know it's wrong, what do you do? The Bible tells us hatred will stir up the strife, but genuine love will cover the sin. In other words, but you know, I had this before, but it's true, you know. Yes, I know it's true. But the Bible says if you genuinely love the person, you will cover it up. When I talk cover it up, doesn't mean if there's a consequence, you don't tell the truth. But I'm saying that in your normal conversations with people, you don't have to bring it up. Does that make sense? I know a lot of things. But God says, you better practice what you preach. Love covers that sin. Okay? And I know things about you, you know things about me. But you know what? In order to protect each other's reputation, we don't say it. I think a good example is, you know, realize that the judgment seat of Christ, God knows all our sins. Amen? He knows everything. What is he going to do? He's just not going to bring it up. Think about that. You know why? When you don't bring it up, you give the other person another chance. Can you imagine if he's always... The next verse tells us... Proverbs 12, 16. A prudent man covereth shame. In Proverbs 17:9, he that covereth a transgression. Notice this, when you genuinely say, look, I know this person has done certain things, I'm not going to mention it. Why? The Bible says if you cover that, whatever wrong the person has done, you're actually promoting love. You're actually promoting love. You're actually saying, I care for this person enough that, let's give him another chance. I won't even mention it. A true friend, the second one is, does not reveal sins of other friends. You won't reveal the sins or the mistakes. Sometimes even mistakes are very embarrassing. I think some mistakes we can laugh about it. You know, you do boo-boo, you trip and fall, that kind of thing. You can laugh about it. But you know, those sins that actually hurt, that you know that if you mention it, it will set the person back. God says that if we cover it up, we will seek love. Okay, any questions there? Remember, when you cover someone's sin, it does not mean that you don't tell him about it. No? You tell him about it, but you don't tell about that to someone else. That's the difference. Okay? That's the difference. Does it make sense? So, I know it's quite difficult. By nature, you want to share. And the world has all this. Okay? They have what? Gossip magazines. That is number one. Alright? You know, the ladies magazine is so-and-so broke up with this and that and this took money from here and the new paper is a lot of they have a lot of catchy. Why? To simulate your interest. And one of the things that I want to warn you is, the more you read the kind of so-called juicy gossip, the more you're prone to do it, because the devil actually gives you strategies what to do, how to sin. Does it make sense? Do you know what I'm saying? The more you read about a certain way of doing things, In other words, the devil has actually put a device in your mind to do it. That's why there are certain things that you just shouldn't read. Okay, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14, in evil, in malice, be like children. When it's sin, be blur. Be blur about sin. Like, I don't know. Okay? Any questions? So does not reveal the sins of friends, okay? Proverbs 27 verse 10.
My own bread and thy father's bread forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor than his dear, than a brother far off.
Okay, this is in the practical sense, alright? A true friend helps in times of need. Okay? Now, help is limited by our own resources, by our own time. But, you know, we ought to actually do as much as we can to help a friend. Okay? How many of you have heard this story about two friends was walking along the forest and they met a bear? How many of you have heard that story? There was two friends was walking along a forest, they met a bear. Alright? One friend quickly scrambled up onto the tree away from the bear. Okay? The other friend was stunned, don't know what to do, and then he played dead. Pretend to be dead. And then the bear came and sniffed him. After a while, the bear went away. Okay, and then after that, after the bear left, the friend, this friend on the floor stood up, and then the friend from the tree came down and said, "Hey, what did the bear tell you?" And then the guy on the floor said, "Be wise about choosing your friends." Okay, you got a friend that runs away when you're in trouble. Okay, that was actually, I remember this because in my primary school days, and this is primary school, I read the story and the title, the proverb again, a friend in need is a friend indeed. Okay, a friend in need is a friend indeed. Now I'm thankful in this church that many people try to reach out to do a little bit more for other people. And you know why you need to be that? Because Jesus' pattern is, Jesus went everywhere doing good. Okay, whenever there's a need, we need to, by God's grace, try to meet that. Alright, as a friend. Next one, Proverbs 27 verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The next characteristics of a true friend is, are you ready? Rebukes in faithfulness. In other words, when you see a true friend will dare to, by the way, do it quietly. Look at a friend and say, what you did the other day was not right. It's sin. The Bible teach very clearly, faithful are the wounds of a friend. I've wounded many people. But can I say I come in the position of a friend? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Do you realize if you take this position, you lose friends? That when you tell people what is wrong, you will lose friends. How many of you agree with that? You lose friends. No one wants to be shown what's wrong with their lives. Only a true friend will risk that friendship and say, look, I care for you so much that I will tell you even if it means losing you as a friend. That's what Jesus is. He will tell us our sin, and then if people walk away, say, look, I care for that person. Because he knows that if the person continues in their sin, it's going to destroy his life. Does that make sense? A true friend will want the best for, it doesn't mean just to promote prosperity, but also to prevent problems that you know is coming. For example, if you know of a person gambling, for example, a person smokes, for example, what do? Look, you need to stop. I had this friend he was in the army, he was a commando, and he was telling all his, and he was quite a nice guy, gentle Indian guy, you know, a lot of Indian in commando, I don't know why, but he was smoking. So I kind of said, hey, smoke lah. Of course I'm a friend with him, he's a quite a nice guy, and so, I said, yeah, so, don't smoke lah, you know, one day you don't smoke, you save $5. One week you save 35, 1 month you save over $140, I said, yeah. Because he's not a Christian, so I use that. But you know, I don't know whether he ever stopped that or not. But it from that position, it's actually quite a friendly chat. But you know, when it comes to the deeper problems of life, it takes a true friend to be willing to say, hey, can I talk with you? I think there's this area of your life that needs to be dealt with. Okay? How many of you had this experience of telling people their faults? We tell our children their faults all the time, right? Why? Because why? Interesting, right? Because you care for them. And also because you're a father, you're a mother, you need to show them their faults so they can get right. Okay? But you know, only a genuine friend will actually tell. That's what God says. And the Lord is very clear about that. He will rebuke the sin. He will expose the sin if necessary. Okay? To that person. By the way, when they rebuke, if you know someone is doing wrong, don't do the rebuke in front of like 60 people. Okay? Pull him aside later on and say, look, I don't think that was right. What? Stand by. Okay. Now, under this, the question for us is, a true friend does not just give us what we want, okay? But a true friend will give us what we need. And it takes a true friend with wisdom from God to actually understand what your friend needs. And youth, as you grow up, what you see is not what it is sometimes. Because I can tell you the youth, today on the front page I had to cut out this, there was this newspaper about a youth, young girls being models. Literally models. And this is from United World College, who won first prize in this modeling thing. And he was dressing inappropriately. Okay? Right? She was in bikinis, basically. So I cut out the... And you know, if... Would you tell a friend? What I'm saying is that when you look at a teenager like that, do you aspire to be like that? Or would you say, God, that's not right. And if he's my friend, I will have to tell that person. You'll lose your friend immediately. There are some Christians who say, that's not my business. If you say that, we're not a true friend. That's from God's perspective, huh? Okay, this is what God says. Okay, any questions? If we don't tell the friend, if he is blatantly wrong, and you don't tell that friend, we're not a true friend. Okay, we're not a true friend. That's what a true friend will rebuke in faithfulness. Notice, it doesn't mean you become the policeman. Everyone do wrong, you point. Everyone do wrong, you point. Okay, that one you sure lose friends, and you should lose friends because you don't know how to be a friend. A friend, when they rebuke in faithfulness, will take the time to pray and say, Lord, what's the best time for me to tell this person? Okay? So understand this, a true friend will rebuke in faithfulness. On the other hand, the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The Bible teaches us, be careful of those people who flatter you. I won't mention, but I had this person say, wow, you're doing a good job, you know. But you know what? That was many years ago of a friend who did that. On the outside, he seems to be very nice. But then, on the behind side, many things that I found out is like, I will not expect that from you. Be careful of flattery. When someone comes to you, oh, you're doing a good job. The flattery kind of slides off me. Because you know, the important thing is that Jesus Christ gets a praise, not me. For whatever, in the ministry or whatever. Okay, it's good to encourage one another, but you know, when you flatter, it's a different thing. Flatter is with intention. To cover up? Alright? So you need to be very careful. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. On the other hand, if someone rebukes you, let me ask you, do you take the admonition of a friend? Do you consider the person a friend? Or do you consider the person an enemy? The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. If you ever come and tell me that I'm wrong, of course you need to tell me where. And why am I wrong? And if that's the case, I'll thank you for it. Because I would think that you care enough for me that you come and tell me, okay, that I'm wrong. That's a position of a true friend. Alright? Any questions? Feel free to just ask questions if you're not too sure. Any questions, Jacob? Okay, you seem to be deep in thought. Okay, let's move on, alright? Psalm 141, verse 5.
Let him with me, he shall be an excellent oil, he shall not
Okay, let the righteous smite me, it shall be kindness. What does that mean? Let the righteous man, psh! And to David, wow, thank you. You know, and what else? He says, let him reprove me, it shall be excellent oil. It's like the oil that makes me look nicer. Isn't that true? A true friend will tell you what is wrong so that you look better. Not physically, your character will look better. Right? Let's put it this way. When you drive, we got three mirrors. You know why we have three mirrors? One at the side, one in the, here, and one here. You know why? Or the drivers, brothers, men, why do we have three mirrors? Check your hair. decide. Okay. Why do we have three mirrors? Anyone? Why do you have three mirrors?
See the road.
To what? See the road behind, okay. What else? Okay, for safety. Alright. I like a phrase that was used by my driving instructor, is to have a panoramic view of behind. Now when you look, you know exactly the whole situation behind. Last time, if I'm not wrong, my mom can verify. Last time in Singapore, they only have one side mirror. Right? No. Cannot remember. Sometimes only one side mirror, or those really old cars, the mirror is right in front one. You remember those times? Really, really old. And sometimes only one here and one here. You don't really see the side. Okay? Have you ever like accidentally nearly knocked into a motorcycle? You have, right? Why? Because you didn't know where it came from, right? Especially if it's a white uniform and lights, right? It comes very fast. Okay? Because sometimes, let's put it this way, we won't know all our faults. Right? We need friends to come and tell us our blind spots so that we can get better. You know, in a local church, we need the Spirit of Christ whereby if someone comes and say, brother, I think maybe you should have done this way. And then, of course, you think through and say, yeah, I think you're right. We don't have to challenge every criticism, but just make sure that criticism is constructive. Seek to build. Okay? Seek to build. Smite me, alright? From now on, you can smite the pastor. That's okay. It will be kindness to me. Just make sure what you smite with me is the right thing. Okay? Alright, let's move on. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Right? Is it? Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron. When iron comes together, what happens? There is? What? Sparks. Okay? Iron sharpeneth iron. Okay? That's something which is... people cannot take it. Some people cannot stand the fire. Some people don't like that kind of discussion. They avoid it altogether. But genuine friends, when they come together, will give it to you and you will give it to them. At the end of the day, you sit here and drink coffee and go home happy knowing that your friendship is good. Okay? Now, the analogy is of a tool sharpened with a file, you know? Okay? A friend can sharpen his friend, the idea of encouraging his friend. And sometimes the words used in encouragement, you may not like it. But how can you say that to me? It may kind of create a bit of sparks. And you may start you thinking, are you sure, my friend? How many of you have done that? Have thought that before? This person said something about me, and I don't think it's my friend. He'll say that to me. He said my cooking is not nice. That kind of thing. Small things, you know. But you know what? The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. Sometimes when we disagree with someone, it's not because we don't like that person. It's because we want to encourage the person. And I dare say, I always go from the perspective, and I hope we all can. Love believeth all things. The premise I start with every Christian is that they want to do right. They want to do right. Along the way, there may be trials, obstacles, difficulties that stop them. Our goal then is to help them go past that so they can keep doing right. Does that make sense? Sometimes they get stuck at a hump for a long time. Or their wheel gets stuck in the mud. You know, they'll show you. The wheel just gets stuck. Just cannot move forward. And through that, when we say certain things that might actually push them forward or maybe irritate them a bit, the goal is actually to get them to be sharpened for the Lord. Okay? This proverb requires that the interaction of man with man operate in a way of sharpening the manner and forming the habits and character that one help another to rub off all the weak points round its edges, as one has to make use of an iron when he sharpens iron and seeks to make it bright. The goal at the end of the day is, let's say if someone comes to you and say, look, I think you should be doing this, and it's like, wow, how dare you say that to me? The purpose is so that the habit, or the example, let's say you come to me, Pastor, you're very lazy. You say, why you do that? You wake up at what time? You start going to, and, or you're always late, for example. Okay, you're always late for certain things. And that would be kindness for me. But if I say, how dare you say that to me? I'm your pastor. How dare you say I'm late all the time? You leh? Have you had that before? Huh? Whenever someone says that, you always must say, you leh? You know why? That's human nature. We don't like it. I challenge you. Sometimes next time when people say something about you, don't use a you leh. Okay? Just hold it. And they say, okay, you are telling me something I must change. Okay, I'll change. You know why? Because at the end of the day, 2 months later, I changed my area, and if that person is still you leh, if that person who tell me didn't change, then I can look around and just smile at him. And you'll heap coals of fire on that person's head. Does that make sense? I've always understood this, that when someone tells me I'm wrong, I'll accept it, I won't even say anything back. If it's true, then I'll do something about it. If it's not true, just throw it in the trash. Okay? Christians take responsibility for our own character. If someone actually tells us, especially if a Christian comes and tells us, understand that he comes and tells in love. Sometimes it's not what you like to hear. But you know what? Iron sharpeneth iron. Iron is a character. And it will sharpen. In other words, at the end of the day, both of you should be stronger at the end. Serving the Lord more fervently. Okay? So that's another friend. So let me ask you, for the youth especially, do your friends sharpen you? Or the friend, wow, your hair very nice today, leh. Wow. And it starts talking about, wow, you want to go here and I want to see this movie and I want to, wow, I'm going to. And it starts, does it sharpen you? I'll ask my children, you say this, you do that, does it make you spiritually growing? Or does it just cater to what you, it will make you feel good? Be careful of friends that make you feel good. Because when things are bad, they won't be around. Hey, think about that, huh? Only the true friends will be there. It's the friend that you don't like to talk to, but when you need something, he's always there. A person may be very quiet, may not be very pleasant to look at, but he's the person or she's the person that whenever you need something, something comes in. Okay? That's a true friend. Alright? Iron sharpeneth iron. Does your friend sharpen you? If you have a friendship with someone, let me ask you a question. Do you grow in that friendship? Think clearly. Because if you have friends, but you don't grow, you're spending a lot of time with that friend. And all we talk about is the latest fashion and all that kind of thing. You grow in the fashions of this world. But you won't grow in character and manners. Alright? A true friend from the Bible will help you to be growing. Alright? Next one. Proverbs 15, John 15, 13. Okay, the next characteristic of a true friend is a friend is sacrificial. A friend will do anything for you. Anything. Except sin. Alright, within limits. Okay, that maybe bodily, if he's sick, he really cannot. One of the principles, probably is ministry, but I think it's as a friend. Our family seek to do everything we can to help anyone we can. As much as we can. Within our limits that we have, that God has given to us. You know, if ambassador, if you all have that characteristic, we'll do all we can to help whoever you can. As much as we can, within biblically defined boundaries, we need to do it. Okay? Because Jesus gave us the greatest example. He laid down his life for his friend. So there was a question, I think, in camp. I think, who asked? Or was it Brother Desmond in the message? Will you die for me? Okay, I will ask this question. I'm thick skin. Who will die for me? Okay, Joshua, thank you. Desmond will be reluctant. So, Can I say this? May we move towards a church, by God's grace, that everyone will be willing to do that for each other. You realize that times are tough for being a Christian. Times are tough for being a Christian in Singapore. It will come a time that sharing the gospel, you can get arrested. Things are getting harder in Singapore as well. Harder to reach. People are more kind of... they try to have open dialogue and all that. There will come a time it's so hard to reach. Okay? And one of the things we need to understand, we need to move towards a place whereby, you know, the love is so strong. I'm not talking about like you kiss here, no hug here. I'm not talking about the kind. The kind will come and go on. But a love that says, whatever you need, I'll pray for you, I'll be there as much as I can. That I'll sacrifice to the point I'm willing to lay down my life. There was one Christian lady who was in... This is a real story in the concentration camp. There was this lady who was in line, okay, with another lady. But the Christian lady who was further back knew that the lady in front is headed towards a guest chamber. Alright? And apparently, I don't know how she managed to do it. But what she did was, this Christian lady actually stepped out and asked this lady, can you help me to get something? Because by getting her out of the line, she could actually save her life, apparently, in that story. Okay? And so what the Christian lady did was, can you go and get the towel for me? You usually say that they're going for a shower. Basically, actually going to the guest chamber. And so this Christian lady took the place of this lady. Lady went off, but of course, he came back when the lady was gone. The lady went in to took her place in the guest chamber. Because you're trying to share the gospel to this lady, this who was not a Christian, in a concentration camp. No, I read that. Thankfully, in Singapore, we don't have to go to that kind of extreme. But what if there's a need to? You know, sacrifice involves time and effort. And sometimes, in the Chinese ministry last week, we talked about the fact that sometimes in the early church, they had to give time, effort, and sometimes even their own possessions. And it could inconvenience them. A friend who is willing to go through the inconveniences to help another, God says that's a true friend. That no matter how long I have to wait, no matter how much I have to give, no matter how much time if it's to help you move forward, I will. Okay? And that would be a general characteristic of a true friend. He's sacrificial. Alright? Just like the Lord Jesus Christ was. Okay, the next one, Galatians 6 verse 1 and 2. Okay, Paul was admonishing the Galatian church, a genuine Christian, a true friend will care for the spiritual growth of another person. Okay, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one. Okay, if you're spiritual, you have some Bible insight, and you know that this person is doing wrong, don't just say, not my business. I wanted to start off with one key thing. Remember in Genesis chapter 4, when God came to Cain and asked Cain, where is your brother? How did Cain answer? Am I my brother's keeper? What's the answer? Yes. Yes. We are a brother's keeper. Just like anything happens in the Toriano family, let's say maybe Leandra is sick, the whole family will try to do something to help, right? Because we are a brother's keeper. We cannot say, I don't care. Alright? That is not the language of the Lord Jesus Christ, or disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the language. You know, it's a language of our personal characteristic. We don't want to get involved. Okay? But a genuine friend will care for the spiritual growth of another, to the point that when a person is doing wrong, you will try your best to do that. In verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? The law of? Law of love. The law of love. Alright? See? A friend loveth at all times. And this is apply here as well. Okay, the next one, Proverbs 18, verse 24.
A man that has friends can show himself friendly, but there is a friend that's taken
closer. The next one, you must show yourself friendly. In other words, you will reciprocate. You will reciprocate. What does it mean? Reciprocate, it means you do one to me, I do one to you. The intention is not, I do one to you so I can get one from you. There's a difference, you know. When a person is trying to be nice, I thought, yeah, Rolando, how are you? Then after, he say he's fine, right? Of course, that's reciprocation. I said, then he would turn back and say, hey, Pastor, how are you also? That's called reciprocation. Some people say, how are you? I say, yeah, fine, thank you. And it's like, have you talked to people like that? You try one time, you try two times, you try three times, then you go back already because the person don't reciprocate. The verse actually says, of men that have friends, you must also show yourself to be a friend. That's the principle there. In other words, if you want friends, or if you have friends, you must show yourself friendly too. In other words, you must think of your friends. Don't just expect your friend to think of you. Many Singaporeans operate like that. I only think of you when I can get something from you. But if nothing happens, we are just living our own lives. That's not friendship. Okay? A man that has friends must show himself friend. The word is in the Hebrew must, okay? In other words, you have to reciprocate. That's a biblical instruction whereby if you do have friends, you will think of your friends. Maybe you think of the birthdays, you think of whatever, and you actually send an SMS or whatever to just kind of wish the person, or you know that, oh, I think the person is having exams now, you will SMS or you encourage the person. You think of that person in whatever times. Alright? And of course, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who's that friend? The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, one more. Psalm 119, verse 63. The word companion them has to do with a friend, associate. I am a companion, a friend of the Lord. A characteristic mark of a true friend is one that fears God and keeps the word of God. Can I say this? If you keep the word of God, you die for your friend. Because you follow the example of Christ. Okay, any questions for the some of the characteristic there? I'll just quickly go through the hindrances of friendship. In Proverbs 16:28, let's all turn there. Proverbs 16:28. What are some things that will stop friendship? Or break friendship? Or destroy friendship? Proverbs 16:28, okay, I'll read. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. The word froward man there has to do with a perverted man, a man with other devices. In other words, his mind is not fixed on Christ. So, a perverted man will sow strife. Okay, basically he light a fire and walk away from it. Basically he says something, you know, Celine was like that. Then he walked away. And then whatever, then just, what? I don't know. Have you seen children doing that? Hey, this lad, then don't tell you. It's like, hey, what? Then after that, then people start to like add sauce and add pepper and add chili sauce, you know, make the whole story like don't know what. And you know, it's so strong. And then, he said that. Then you just need one angry person. How dare he say that? And then without checking, he goes to that person and then things kind of blow up. Sow a strife. Okay? So that's what it means there. The second one is a whisperer separated chief friends. A whisperer separates chief friends. The word whisperer has to do with a person who whispers. Okay? The principle and idea there is that you say things in the quiet about someone else. It's interesting, the Bible always says, a little bird will hear it. I have one friend, his name is, he's an Indian, many, many years ago. And he came to me like, how can that person say this about me? I said, what? I didn't even hear it. I heard it from my sister. And the person don't even know my sister. You know? Because he say here, he say here, he say here, he say here. He call the sister, still can't tell him. You know what the Bible says? Be careful, you know? When you whisper and say in the quiet, there's a little bird. Yes. But you know what happens in that situation? Whether it's true or good or not, it actually will separate the friends. It will separate. That's what the Bible says. You see, the Bible understands human nature and how people will respond in a certain way. And the Bible gives instructions, don't do this, or if you do this, this will happen. So if you just listen to the Bible, then don't be a whisperer. Don't say things in the quiet. Alright, that's what the Bible says. The second one in Proverbs 18:18. Why will you separate friends? Proverbs 18:18. I read, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. Oof. the Bible is very clear. The words of a tail, someone who carries a tail, are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Can I say this? When you say things about someone, when we say things about someone who is a half-truth or not totally the truth, you know, it could be the truth, but with an attitude of malice. Proverbs 18, verse 18. It's verse 8. And then it must be my flu, I couldn't see properly. Thank you. There, a true friend tells me I'm wrong. See? And so it's my wife, yeah. Sorry. Okay, the wounds of a tail-bearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of a belly. Can I just... Okay, have you heard this before where people will say, did you say that? And the person will lock onto that word and will nail you on that word alone. And you say that, but 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 you say that, right? I mean, we all know in human relationships it happens. God knows humans. God knows how a person will respond. That's why God actually tells us the words, not the tail, the words of a tail bearer are as wounds and you go down. You know what happens? Next week we'll talk about how to restore that relationship. But when we say certain things, which may be half-truth or is the truth but with an attitude which is wrong, it actually wounds the other person affected, involved. Okay? Whatever words you use. Whatever words you use. Whatever words you use. Okay? And the Bible says, you know how far the wounds, they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Okay? The idea is that it hurts the person from the inside. Once it hurts the person from the inside, some of us, what happens to that friend is that he loses courage in that friendship. What else does he lose? He loses trust in that friendship. Because the wound go in here. In boxing, there's this thing. In boxing, who does boxing before? Anyone does? Oh, no one. No. Okay, in the army, I did boxing before. But it's just kind of inter-company on the box. I wasn't selected because they actually said that if you wear glasses, you cannot box because you cannot see. Okay, well, so thank God my degree. But we actually, and he said that sometimes when you punch a person in a certain way, you knock the wind out of him. And the person kind of just cannot. Something happens to him that his whole body is immobilized. That's what happens when there's the word of a tail bearer and it wounds that person. And when someone just kind of quietly, you know, just, I'm okay, don't worry about me. No, he's not. That's lying, by the way. And we need to be careful. And the point there is, a big hindrance in friendship is gossip. But it's interesting, the word gossip is actually merrymaking. The word gossip is another word for Godfather. But of course, used in today's context, the word gossip has to do with idle tattling. You just talk and talk. And we need to be very careful because gossip has broken many churches. By God's grace, it will not hurt ambassador because we've learned the Bible. A principle that there was one guy who would say, there was one lady who can... There's one lady... This is a good example. This lady will always find something good about someone else to say. And then so she was put up to the challenge. Okay? Can you say something good about the devil? This lady is good for telling. She can find good in everything and can share the good. You know what she said? The devil doesn't give up. The devil doesn't give up. You know what that tell me? Even in the worst situation, you can always say something good. If really your vocabulary is limited, you don't say anything. And this principle I teach my children, if you've got nothing good to say, don't say anything. Just smile. Okay? Alright? Any questions? Okay? So, a hindrance to friendship will be gossip. Number 2, Proverbs 17, verse 9. We'll just probably finish one more, okay? Proverbs 17 verse 9. Okay, are you there? Let's read together. Proverbs 17 verse 9. Ready? 1, 2, go. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, But he that repeateth the matter separated very friends. So what's another hindrance to friendship? Repeating the past. You are 25 years ago, you are 23 years ago. It's very hard. I know sometimes, because as human beings we cannot forget. Especially when I had surgery, I can still feel what happened and things like that. Because it's something significant. When you are wounded, and it was a situation, you know what happens when you're wounded? What happens when you sprain your ankle? What happens when you sprain your ankle? All your attention is focused on the painful part, right? Why not? And you look, wow, cannot, don't touch. I have one friend who said, hey, don't touch my ankle. And I said, if I don't touch your ankle, then how am I going to help you? You know, you got to put ice, you got to kind of do different things to it, you know. But this person is really afraid of pain. So don't touch. If I don't touch, how to help you? You know, when we sprain ankle or something hurts, we kind of just shrink back, right? So we're all internalizing everything, which means that you will remember the hurt a lot longer. Does that make sense? Okay? But when you actually is able to forgive, you won't repeat the matter. But the principle here is, if you keep on talking about the matter, sometimes because it's brewing inside here, the hurt is there, you keep on saying it again and again and again and again. You know what you're doing? You're rehearsing. And once you're rehearsing, what you're doing is pushing the hurt deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into your soul. Okay? It's kind of like putting one brick. Every time you repeat, you put one brick. So the next time you want to hammer the bitterness down, you can't, because you're building so much things. Okay? Especially with friendships. Okay? Now, if you keep on mentioning the past in husband-wife relationships, in friendships, especially, let's say if someone hurt you, if you keep bringing up that thing again and again, your goal is not to be a friend with that person. The Bible teaches us, he that repeateth a matter will separate very friends. In other words, even how close the friend is, you keep talking about it. Can you imagine if I keep, let's say Robert Rolando is a nice guy, but let's say I hurt him and he keep repeating that to me. It's very hard for me to get close to him. Or if he hurt me and I keep repeating the bad things he did to me, two things happen. I break that friendship, I destroy myself. I'll talk about it later. Okay? Any questions? You know the principle? This is one of the big hindrances, I believe. Not just in Christian friendship, but in friendships in general. Especially in the older generation, when bad things have happened and they keep on repeating the matter. The Bible says if you repeat the matter, you will separate friends. How do you not break up friendships? Yes, it may have happened. Zip it. Put it at the cross. Go to Christ and say, Lord, you help me, because without your help, it will keep coming out. For those who have been hurt, and you find that these things happen all the time, and the moment you see that person, it's like, you know what you need to do? Pray for that person. Say, Lord, you bless him. Even with tears in your eyes, Lord, bless them. God, I know it's hard, but Lord, I love that person. I'm not lying, but Lord, you know it's so painful what he did to me or her. Lord, I'm praying that God, you would help her. God, help me at the same time to be able to understand your love to the point that I can accept this person. Lord, help me. And you keep praying every day for that person. It is said that you pray regularly with all your heart for 3 weeks, God can change your heart. He can. Because you see, what you're doing is seeking love. And you are obeying God continuously. In 1 John 2:5, if you obey God, it shows that you love God, and the love of God will be perfected. Sometimes it's hard. I understand as pastor, knowing some of the things that happen in your life, that the wounds are deep. You need to fast and pray and every beg God. Remember, when you settle yourself, and the person is not settled, it's no longer your problem. You know? Did you realize that? You are free in your conscience to serve God, but if the person continues in his wrong way, you can just say, Lord, I've done my best. And I believe that's what God is teaching us. Whereby you do what you can, you get into the will of God by doing right. But the person keeps on offending you, say, no, Lord, I'm not going to get angry because you have helped me. My heart is changed. I love that person. No matter what he does to me, it's not going to hurt me anymore. In the end, the person has to deal with the problem. Point for you, don't let the other person's problem become your problem. A person may be irritable, angry, and keep on doing bad things to you. But you know what? You say, I still love you in the Lord Jesus. It's hard for me, but I still love you. You know what? That person will get even angrier. But you know what? You don't have to be angry. And when you're not angry with Jesus' help, you don't have a problem. And your conscience is free to serve God. And when people talk to you, say, no, I've tried my best, this is what I did, but I can't do anything. You cannot help someone who doesn't want to help themselves. Okay? You do all you can. But you really cannot. And there are many times in my life the Lord just told me, leave that person alone. You can't help. Because I'm human. I say, God, then you have to do. God will deal with that person. Because He is omnipresent. Okay, any questions? Now, some of us may have baggages. Some of us may have from friendships that have passed. And I can tell you there are people who are attending our church now who actually have been hurt by people from other churches, and they are here and they are finding it so hard to even join a church because of the hurts they have gotten. You know what you need to do? Just pray for them. Don't dig out. Don't repeat. Focus on the love of Christ. One of the biggest healers of this kind of hurts is time. Okay? And there's nothing you can do. You know what? God then is giving us as Ambassador Baptist Church a privilege of healing these people by putting the past away and just focusing on the love of Christ and letting them move forward. Because I can tell you, if the person is still in the situation, this thing will always be a burden for them. Alright? Any questions? Okay, I think we better stop there. Okay, I'm tempted to keep going. But next week, we'll continue with this one. Any questions at all? So along the way, you feel that if you have friendships that you find it hard, next week we're going to finish this one and we're going to talk about how to initiate friendships for people who are very shy, people who, I cannot talk one, you know, as if for people who, because you see, as a church, we need to be a friendly church. And people come, they need to know that people will come and talk to them. But you need to know how to initiate friendships. Some people are by nature very shy, okay, and we have to accept that. But you know what, if you learn certain principles that can help you. Remember, yesterday, we were just watching The Hiding Place once again. There was one Betsy. I think telling you Betsy, and Corny. Who's the main character? Corey Ten Boom. Yes, Corey. Okay, Corey and Betsy. Betsy said this. She was always smiling. But one part of the Hiding Place, she was saying. The brother was asking her, "Do you realize what you're getting into if you want to protect these Jews?" You know what Betsy said? If I had my way, that's what Betsy said. If I had my way, I'll shut my doors until this whole nightmare is over. Because the Nazis, the Germans have come and occupied Holland. And she said this. But then my Lord, she said this, I quote her, "My Lord Jesus Christ tells me to open the door to anyone who will come." And then she said, "I will listen to my Lord Jesus." Oh, what a blessing that was to me. She understood there were two voices. A voice that says, hate, hate, hate. Another voice says, love, from the Lord Jesus. And what Betsy chose deliberately was, I will listen to the Lord Jesus. You know where that took her? She took her into the concentration camp, Ravensbrück, where she had the privilege, God allowed them to smuggle a Bible in, and she was able to share the love of Jesus with the prisoners, or rather the people in the concentration camp. She died in the camp, but she chose to follow Christ. You know, and one of the things I've learned from there is, in friendships, in relationships, sometimes you won't have the answers why it happened that way. But God has a plan. You don't need to know. You need to listen to Christ and what He tells us to do. At the end of the day, even up to today, Betsy's name is mentioned, Corrie ten Boom, and how they've gone through the suffering. And of course, the phrase they use, there is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. Amen? There's no hurt so deep that God, the Lord Jesus, cannot go even deeper to protect you. That's our Lord. Okay, if you have things in your heart and say, "Lord, I need help," cry out to God. If there are friendships that have hurt you, tell God, "God, in your name I forgive this person. But in your name, help me to love this person." Even when the person doesn't reciprocate. What you have done is clear that debt, clear your conscience, and make you free to serve God. And you know what? I can tell you your friendships will be totally changed from then. Does that make sense? All right, any questions? Well, let's have a prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you are the true friend. You are the friend that, Lord, in the middle of the night when no one is there, we can call to. In the tears of our hearts and our eyes and our life, you are always there. Because the Bible tells us, Proverbs 18:24, you are a friend that sticketh even closer than a brother. Even before we mention your name, Lord, you are there. You know the deepest needs of our hearts. Father, I know generally, perhaps, across this room, that people may have been hurt by friendships of past. And all they have done, Lord, is shove it aside. But Father, we pray that you help them to understand if they shove it aside, the hurt will still hurt. And I pray, Father, that thy Holy Spirit will right now minister to them and help them see that they need to forgive in the name of Christ and then to love that person in the name of Christ because we are Christians. Hate has no part in the life of a believer because our God is love. And He loved us so much that He was willing to die on the cross for our sin. And Lord, if you have done so much for us, and I know men will hurt, offenses will come, but I pray, dear Lord, help us to forgive as you forgive. Lord, next week we're going to learn how we're going to restore broken friendships. But I pray most of all right now you restore the heart of everyone. Lord, I pray for every sister and every brother right here. Perhaps in time past, they may have been broken, they may have been hurt, they may have been wounded by friendships and relationships that sometimes they didn't even know that they did anything. But I pray, Father, that they will have the heart of Christ to forgive and so that they can set themselves free by your grace. And that, Father, they can continue to live on for you. Lord, I'm praying for genuine friendships, Lord, close friendships in Ambassador. And that, Father, as people come in, they will see the love of Christ. Because that's what you want us to learn. And you want through this so that all people will know that we are your disciples. Thank you once again. We pray you bless us and bind us together, Lord, by your love. And help us to stand on your truth. And help us to love and have a big heart to love. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do now. I pray in Jesus' name.